This morning I would like to share something about the church. We are belonging to the church of God. We are coming to the church every Saturday, at least. Some church members often than once per week. But I would like to challenge you this morning to think about what church is and how we have to approach the church of God. You know, we live in a time where conceptions and values are disordered. Many people have a wrong understanding about the importance of the church. And for that reason, many people behave differently towards the church because they have misconception or wrong conception about the importance of the church. What is church? There are many clubs, social groups around us, but there is a church as well. What is the church? The answer to that question depends on our attitude towards the church. If we see church as a club, then we will behave, or we will do things which are part of the club experience. But if church is more than something than club, then our motive, our attitudes will be changed as well, and behavior. I would like to invite you this morning to open 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It's a very well known text from the scripture. Apostle Peter says in chapter 2 verse 9, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Peter is talking to whom? You are a chosen generation. Peter was talking to whom? To what kind of group of people? Yes, strangers who were far from God, but now, yes, to us, or first to the believers in his time, and to all the believers through all the times, including us today. Okay. Paul says he speaks to the believers or to the church members in his time. You are chosen generation, not just any generation. In other words, and you are a royal priesthood. And above that, you are a holy nation. Speaks to the Jews, to the Israel. They were chosen by God in a special way. I believe that every one of us is chosen by God, because it's very important to have a sense of that call which God has called you out. In other words, what is the church according to that verse? People, believers who accepted God's call, chosen, who belong to him. When the church is not just a building. Building is a temporary place when the chosen people, God's people, are worshipping God. You know, in the past, people didn't have buildings. During 40 years of the time when the people of Israel traveled through this desert, they didn't have buildings. What they had as a church? The tent, the ark of covenant, you know? Tent, carrying. Whenever they can stretch the tent and pull up together and take it and go to another place. Even before that, when Adam and Eve worshipped God, did they have a church, building or tent? They didn't need that. They were in the presence of God. They have a special place when they meet God every morning and every sunset. That means church is a group of people chosen by God who belong to him. The name church comes from the, in New Testament, from Greek, the Greek word ekklesia. Ekklesia, it means assembly, or the people who are called to come together as a group of people worshiping God. You know, even in Romans 16:5, Paul speaks that people in his time, there was a home churches. I know when I grew up, you know, when I was a child, to worship God in the church was, in the private home was very forbidden. But many people lived far from the church, and they couldn't travel, it was too expensive. That there was not many buses or cars at that time. People coming together in the, like a small village, 3, 4, 5 families together, and they worship God in the homes. The first church in my place started in our home. In one of the, we had four bedrooms, and one bedroom was a special designed for church. There was a table, there was a special chairs for there, and you know, and every Sabbath we worshiped there. We couldn't afford buying house which can be special for church. And I was happy as a child to have a church at home, because when I'm hungry between upper school and divine service, I can go to the kitchen and grab what I need, and I can have a meal. I don't need to wait after preacher to finish the sermon. You know, sometimes children become hungry. That was my first experience. But later on, in that village, we bought a special house, we renovated and become a church. You know, church is when people are coming to worship God. Church are not pews knit in nice carpet or nice you know, furniture. It's a church is the people when coming to worship God together. Let's go to another text I would like to share with you, because we're talking about the church. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's see what the Bible speaks further about the church. Ephesians 1:22. Ephesians says, and he put all things, he's talking about whom? Who put all things under his feet? We'll see. And gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Who put all things under his feet? Who? To whom? The Father God to Jesus Christ. It's good to define those, because if we go the whole chapter, we'll find out all the answers, but we don't have time to go the whole chapter. God the Father put all things under Jesus' feet and gave him to be head over all things to whom? To the church, which is his body. Church is body of Christ, the fullness of him who fills all in all. In other words, it's like Jesus is not full without his bride, without his body. Church is very important to Jesus, to Father God as well. Who is the head of the church according to this? Who is the head? Jesus Christ. He is the main boss. The members of the church are his body. You know, sometimes we all forget that Jesus is the boss of the church. I'm using that expression in order to emphasize that he's the mind. Sometimes we act as if church was ours, or as we owe on it. Jesus has all the authority. I've been in the churches when some people behave like the church belonged to them. I've been pastor one church, if my wife remember, he was the first member of the church. And he couldn't allow anything, church came about 40, 50 members. He couldn't allow any changes, anything to happen to church without his permission. Even we couldn't open the window when it was 40 degrees, like tomorrow will be. To open the window, we didn't have that. Oh, we had, but not enough. We couldn't open two windows because that was affecting him. And he wanted to sit always here on the first pew. And the size of the church was very unusual, and they were entering it in the middle of the room, because it was not built for the church. It was a house who later on was renovated and become a church. And sometimes you don't know, there was two bedrooms before, house or something like that. And was people sweating inside, and he couldn't allow the window because he was first member. He was the oldest of the church, and everybody has to respect him. And we all suffer. Until one day we decided we will take a risk and we will open two windows one time. And he became so upset, and he moved to the back row, sitting later on there in the corner of the church. And we all pleaded, we all asked for forgiveness, we all came down and whatever. No, he was not moved at all. And he died. He died sitting in the last chair in the church. Church is, we have to respect each other, but church is above my authority. I don't have authority, even the pastor or the elder. Jesus has the all authority of the church. We are just ministering, assisting him and assisting each other. It's very important. In another church, I had one man who was a rich man, and he was very generous to the church. And usually when he had a lot of money, he had a lot of and authority and somehow power. And people, they didn't have a courage to do things without his permission. Even he was not much involved. He was never elder. He was never official chosen, because he was not that kind of person. You can give him certain high duties of the church, but he has money. And he thought if he had the money, he had the power, and he was wanted to control. And that church allowing him to control somehow. I'm talking practically things I've learned from my experience. Sometimes we are forgetting that church, it's not my business. It's not your business. It's God's business. He has the authority of the church. We are here to support and help his body to grow and to be healthy as much as... Because we will see later how important is that church to Lord. From Desire of Ages, I'm reading from page 237. The church is built upon Christ as its foundation. It is to obey Christ as its head. It is not to depend upon man or be controlled by man. Many claim that a position of trust in the church gives them authority to dictate what other men shall believe and what they shall do. This claim God does not sanction. The Savior declares, "All you are brethren, all are exposed to temptation and are liable to error. Upon no finite being can we depend for guidance. The rock of faith is the living presence of Christ." It's a very important statement. I would like further to emphasize 4 points what church is, or what church is supposed to be. Okay? You can add more, but I've chosen 4. First, church is God's organization. It's God's. Church is not a result of human thoughts and human actions. The idea of church didn't come in the mind of certain men, or let's do church. God was behind. It's God's initiative. It's not human one. It's God's organization. Church is God's idea, not a human at all. And Ellen White says, God's church is the most precious thing in his eyes. Let's open Book of Acts chapter 20, verse 28, second part. Book of Acts chapter 20, second part. Oh, we can read the whole verse, no problem. But then I would like just 28, okay? Book of Acts says, "Therefore take heed to yourself and to all the flock, among which are the Holy Spirit has made you of overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Paul speaks during the forever meeting with the elders of Ephesus church. He said, be careful, I have to go. You know, he had a meeting, elders meeting, I can say, and he gave them a little bit instructions. He said, be careful, you know, do whatever. Because why? Because church, Jesus purchased church with his own blood. It's God's organization. Everything belongs to God. God's church is very expensive. Not about the building, about the value of the building of the site. Some church has a value in building, but I'm not talking about that, because sooner or later, this is a temporary. They will go. We're expecting something better than this one. Yeah? But until Jesus comes, we need place. But the most important is Jesus gave himself for us. For this reason, every member has a big value in God's eyes. He says, he purchased by his own blood. Do you know that you have a great value? Because of you, Jesus came to this earth and he shed his blood on the cross. Because of you, because of me. We brothers and sisters are very expensive in God's eyes. Because he bought us with his own blood spilled on the cross. That is one more reason why each one of us use has to be careful towards God's church, because everybody is a special in God's eyes. And when Jesus says, if we hurt the brother or the sister, we are hurting whom? He's hurting Jesus. He identifies himself with you, with me, with everyone, even the children. You know, Jesus says, you do something wrong to the smallest one. It's very important. In 1 Peter, you know, 1:18-19, Peter speaks that Jesus didn't bought us from our sinful life by the silver or gold, but he, with his precious blood. And we have great value in his eyes. And Jesus bought every single member in his church by his blood. Every single member. Jesus paid the same price. We have the same value. Doesn't matter of your status. Doesn't matter of your assets. Or how poor you are. We have the same value. Jesus shed his blood. In book of Zacharias, how you pronounce, chapter 2, verse 8. Zechariah chapter 2, you know, to find that book, it's Old Testament, one of the prophets, those 12 small prophets just before Malachi. Malachi is the last prophetic book in the Old Testament. This is Zacharias chapter 2, verse 8. This last part, he said, for he who touched you touches the apple of his eye. That's one of my highlighted verses in the Bible. Very important. Was always. That gave me strength. When I was fighting for the faith, when I was, you know, I grew up in the communist time, and reading the Bible, going to church was, you know, subject of shame, and people were spitting on you because of that, and that gave me encourage always. Who touches you, touches the apple of his eyes. That gave me courage to be bold in my faith, to stand up for Jesus, even was not popular. And many people later apologize. Like one day maybe Danielle will share the story of her experience how she was treated, and other Adventist young people during the high school, or you know, by the teachers. And one day when they had the reunion later on, maybe almost 10 years ago in Croatia, when the old teacher came, and she
cry over her and said, I apologize deeply. Could you forgive me how I treat you when you were my student? I was wrong, she said. You were right. But you have to experience that, you know. You have to go through all these difficult situations. But that gave me strength. I believe she was strengthened by the same. Who touches you, it touches the apple of God's eye. And we can, you know, you can burn here, you can cut here something, but you're very sensitive to your very eye because it's the light of your body. This is the last part of your body you would like to be hurt. You can do all kind of things to protect the sight. Your eyes, the very apple. And Jesus says, you know, I'm so sensitive when somebody touches you. I try to protect you. You know, God church is not just any. It's a special chosen, and God is very keen to protect His church, to protect you and me. Because He gave so much, because He saw value in you and me. How do you feel when somebody touches your eyes? We feel pain. Our God feels the same pain when somebody brings troubles into His body, in His church, which is His body. God feels the same pain when somebody touches somebody and hurts somebody in the church. Because he feels the pain. Somebody touched him, his apple. How careful, how we have to behave to each other. How we have to be careful what we are saying, what we are doing. How we are managing ourselves. How we are cooperating. Keep that in mind. Because God is very sensitive. Maybe He doesn't react right away, but doesn't mean that He's not hurt. God loves His church. God loves the church in Hamilton. He knows that His church is still not maybe always the way how He expects. But He still loves the church. Nobody has the right to do damage to the church. Somebody try to do, he will take responsibility for that action before God. First point, church is God's organization. It's very important. Second point, church is a place when we worship God. Why we are coming every Sabbath or during the week here? Why? What is the mind? What is the have to be a mind, a center of our coming together as a to worship God. Okay, we can talk about our troubles, we can exchange our experience, life, burdens, whatever, they're all necessary because we are human, but not to forget the main thing why we're here, to worship the mighty one, the almighty creator God. In Psalm 95, 1 to 3, Psalm 95, one to three. David is saying, oh come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. Come, and he said, let's worship Creator God. Come with joyful hearts. With thanksgivings, you know. When we are coming to the Lord, we have to be thankful for the goodness we experience every day. I know sometimes life can be very difficult. We can, you know, come with the burdens, things, you know, sickness. But we have to come as we are before God. But we can find many blessings as well. We have to talk about those blessings. We have to talk. Sometimes we don't have enough time to talk about the blessings. And sing joyfully. You know, sometimes we are coming before the Lord, which it seems like we are not happy because we are coming before the Lord. It seems like sometimes somebody press you to come. You know, have you been in the position as a child to do things which you don't want to do? Because let's go, we are going to visit a friend.
the mom and dad are saying, I can't go. They don't have nobody. They don't have children. No, you have to come. You have to dress up. You know, good. You know, you'd rather stay at home or play on the street with your friends. But you have to go now with your family and to meet somebody who maybe doesn't mean nothing to you. But you're forced to go somewhere. And usually when you force the child to do or to go somewhere we don't like, how hit the child behind?
More like that, sit in the car, look in the... I know, I've had recently, not long time ago, we had that teenagers, you know?
Why can do it? It's all kind of reason to escape, not to come. And there is not much space, he can come, but we'll sit like that, you know, like somebody forced him to be there. We are not forced to come. We are coming before the Lord to worship Him voluntarily. Voluntarily. Maybe you feel guilty if you sit at home today, nice Sabbath day, and maybe you are coming here to escape from the guilt. This is not good reason to come. This is not good reason. Come with open heart, with a joyful heart. Not because force you, not because you have to spend few more dollars for the petrol, not because of the things, but coming with a whole open heart as you are to meet with the brothers and sisters who have the same faith, the same joy. You know, imagine when we are coming in that way, coming to worship the Lord. I believe the angels will join us in a full sense, and that will be mighty, mighty army here, worshippers of God. Church is a place to worship God. He has to be mine. You know, I have to admit, very often we are selfish. We are coming to the church to worship God with selfish reasons. I've heard so many times, even not for the teenagers, I can understand from teenagers' perspective, but from the adults, it was boring. I haven't get anything from the church this morning. The pastor was preaching too long, or I don't know, this one, all kind of things. And I'm thinking, why we are so selfish? Why when we are going to the church thinking about my needs? I need things. I want things. I want to be happy. I want to be fed. I want to be entertained. Are you going to worship yourself there? Or are you going to worship God? People say, there is no love. Who is nominated to be a chair for the love during the year here in Hamilton? Lynette, your church clerk, in a nomination, do we have a department for love? We made big mistakes in Hamilton. We have a nominated department for love. I've been 32 years as a pastor. We never had a department for love in the church. Everybody has to bring plate of love every Sabbath and come to the church. And when everybody brings, there will be plenty of love. No shortness of love at all. But we are selfish by nature. We are coming to bring, to take, to grab, and stand to bring. And that sense of worshiping God has to be changed. We are coming to worship God. Forget yourself. Come and focus on Lord God, Creator God. Being in His presence, focus with your thought. Even Ellen White says, why we are not receiving the blessings which God is preparing for us every Sabbath? One of the reasons, we are working too hard during the week. And we become exhausted. Mentally, physically, and we are coming here and we are not able to enjoy the presence of God. Our body is sleeping. We have to do all kind of tricks to keep us awake. She said, let's work during the week and come fresh on Sabbath, fully to be in the presence of God, to focus, to remember, to not misquote what the preacher says. Because sometimes we can misquote because we are too tired. Then we will receive the blessings. My point is, when we come to worship God, God is the number one. We are thinking to bring the gifts, the offerings, everything what we have before Him, to worship Him. By worshiping Him, by coming in His presence, He is not going to leave you poor. Then you will be blessed in many ways. When Isaiah came in the presence, very presence of God, he was purified, he was clean, he was a different person. That's every meeting with God, every worship of service has to be a new experience for you. You can't be the same. You can go backwards in your spiritual experience, or you can go forward. You can't be the same. Every Sabbath when you come to the worship service, you are not going to be the same anymore. Are you going to go further in your Christian walk with the Lord, or you go backwards? Maybe you didn't use opportunity the way how it should be. Church is a place to worship God. You know, John 4:23 says, the time is come where the true worshippers will worship the Lord, truth and the Spirit. Very important. True worshippers. Jesus says, forget it, Gerizim, forget Jerusalem. Places are not any more important. Even the buildings are not any more important, Jesus says. I don't want to fight. People, you fight about which place is better, which church is better. Barnabas or Hamilton. Who cares which church is better? It's not important. The same God. We are missing the point, Jesus says, you know. I would like to focus to worship God in a new dimension. Sometimes we spend so much time in our church boards, a business meeting, about running the, maintaining the church building, which is just a tent, forgetting the contents which is supposed to be there. Look at the agendas. Instead to focus on the right things, we are just painting the tent and changing the robes and putting springs on, just using as illustration, which is unnecessary. But church, it's not 90% of the time to lose about running, just maintaining the tent. Church has a more wider mission. Church, it's have a wider mission which God had in His mind when He said, let's come together and be a church. Okay, third point, time is flying, sorry. Church is a place where God's people are trained how to succeed better in ministering to others. It's a very key point, why church is organized. And Peter, in opening verse in 1 Peter, he says, you are chosen with a mission. That's why God has chosen people of Israel. Why Abraham? Why the first church was organized? The New Testament church was organized. What was the goal? What was? Just to have a good time? No. Every weekly to have a party time or barbecue time? That was no. To become fishers of men. Jesus said, okay, I train you for three and a half years now. You've been with me. Now go and make people disciples. You don't need to entertain anymore. Even Ellen White speaks, I don't break all the statements, but I can prove, says, you know, sometimes the pastors are spending too much time just running the members of the church. They don't have much time to go those who don't know Jesus. And I think the same principle can apply to us. Sometimes we are spending too much time just on ourselves and forgetting those who are outside of the buildings. You know, we are not here only for ourselves, but for others. The church has to have a plan and program how to reach to the people which are out of the church. That is imperative. French General Napoleon said, army which stays in trenches will be defeated. We are God's army. We are not called so we could hide behind church pews. We are called by God to learn how successfully we can share the gospel outside the church. We have to see things outside of the box. We have to see outside of the windows. It's good to be here. You know, when Jesus experienced transfiguration on the mountain, what was Peter's reaction? Yeah, let's make a tree, tabernacles, tents, and we can, it's good, you know. Jesus says, I didn't come just to stay here. Go down. They came down from the hill and they saw the young fellow suffer from the devil presence. Said, we got work to do. Come on, man. I didn't come from heaven to just to have a good time on the mountain. Go to the valley. I came to the valley and see people are suffering and you want just good time there? No. You know, sometimes we are like Peter. We just want to be here, nice, comfortable, air conditioned heater, nice cushions, good lunch. Everything is perfect. Oh, to go outside 30 degrees and knock on somebody's door and say, Jesus loves you. Oh, terrifying. You know, it's better to stay here and read the Bible. It's good. But you can't do, you know, to neglect your other part of the duty and doing double reading the Bible instead to go. We have a duty to preach the gospel outside as well. That was a mistake of the Jews. They said, we are chosen, we got Abraham, we are better than others, and stay. And they fail. They fail. And Jesus has to use foreigners like Paul and many others who have to open the door and in order the gospel to reach you and me far from Jerusalem. The fourth point, the church has to be a place where everyone has to feel welcome. Church has to be a place. God has this in mind. When everyone has to feel welcome. Because churches, when we come to worship God, around the knee of Jesus, or the foot of Jesus, have to be placed for everyone. Sometimes we kicked each other. Come on, move. That's my place. Come on, move. I've got in some churches members, they want to move from their spot. They are like they bought the seat there. There is no my seat, your seat. Have to be placed for everyone. And everyone has to feel welcome. That's what I find from the scripture. In church we come to meet God, and there has to be a place for everyone. In the church everyone has to feel comfortable. There shouldn't be any difference between people with high or low education, careers, young or old, new baptized or older baptized members. Nobody should be granted any privileges, and nobody should be humiliated. Before Jesus we are all the same. No male and female. When I was a child in my home church, was on left side was a lady sitting, on the right side only gentlemen. That was a church when I remember as a child. Adventist church, I'm not talking about others. I haven't been in other churches as a member. My parents are Seventh Adventists, my grandfather Adventist, I'm third, fourth generation. What I'm talking about as their church. I'm not talking about any other church. Because I know the experience in our churches. And later on was changed. But I'm just saying, we have to feel welcome in God's church. You know, in James chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Okay. Book of James, chapter 2. You know, there was a problem in time of James. Book of James is after Hebrews. Chapter 2, 1 to 4. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord in glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings in fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand here or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality amongst yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Can't happen. I read a story about a big church when it was full with members and visitors. And one day, young fellow come, not suitable according to the standards of the church, dressed. He has a very colorful hair. He was unusual. He just about to enter the church. No ushers to point. Every seat was full. He didn't know what to do. And he went straight to the church. Straight. Everybody, when he saw it, wow, what he's doing here? This is not place for him. And suddenly he went and he sat in front of the pulpit on the floor. Wow. That's a disgraceful. How come?
First, he's not supposed to come like dressed like that. And second, he's going through the whole church and sit in front. Everybody was amazed. What will be the reaction of the ushers? Are going to thank him and deserve to be out? And but suddenly one of the deacons, head deacons, he stood up. He went straight away to him. Said what he's going to do. And sit next to him. Sit next to him. That was a wonderful thing. Everybody feel relaxed. You know, sometimes we're forgetting that we have to identify it with the people. It's easy to be above, to feel above. But to feel welcome, that means you have to identify it with the person. Yeah, I saw a long time ago a logo in one of the hospitals which I visited some people, and I saw a logo there. It says, "This is the place where all pain ends." You know, I don't know, does that every hospital end all the pain there? I don't. Sometimes can be, they can maybe. But the idea of the hospital is when people come sick to go healthier. That's the whole idea. I would like the same logo to be now. Church here, on every church. This is the place when all the pain ends. That means if you have a struggle, if you have a problem, if you have something, when you come in the presence of God, when you join, when you come with the brothers and sisters, then you will feel different. When you go home, you can go more relaxed, with a joyful heart. When you go with a new dimension of Christian experience, when you go highly motivated to worship, to read the Bible, to witness. That's supposed to be the church. How is about, Eli, what about our church? Does our church heal hearts? We face many problems every day, and we came to the church with those problems. Church should do everything to ease the and unburden people from their problems. But sometimes the opposite happens. Sometimes, instead of coming out of church happy, sometimes can happen some of us go home sad and eyes filled with tears. I've been witnessing sometimes that kind of experience. We're forgetting that we are the same. We are affected from the same illness, sin. We are coming to the same hospital to approach the same surgeon, Jesus Christ. Some of us suffer from cancer spiritually, some of us maybe from appendix, some of them from broken knee, some of them from spiritual arthritis, all kinds of spiritual diseases. We are coming to be healed before Jesus Christ. There's no time to laugh to each other. Imagine in a hospital room, five people are laying on the beds, one from cancer, another from have a heart attack, third from leukemia, fourth, and laughing to each other. Ha ha, come on, you're leukemia. Or, ha ha, you. That's distressful. They all depend. They are all suffering. They need healing. That's how we have to approach ourselves. Every one of us suffer from something. For that reason, we are coming to the heavenly healer, Jesus Christ, and said, "Lord, be merciful to me. And help me. If you can be of assistance to another, do this and help release his burdens as well." We are called for the same purpose. Do you know that when Jesus comes, you will be my neighbor in the New Jerusalem? We have to start developing good friendship here, because you will be my first neighbor in the kingdom. And we have to be good friends there as well. I would like just to finish, sorry about a few minutes later, with Ephesians 4:2. Okay? Ephesians 4:2. With Jesus giving us Ephesians chapter 4 verse 2. You're familiar with that verse, but I would like to finish with the okay, just to find in my scripture here. Four two, Paul speaks, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Jesus is calling us to do all this in God's church in love. You know, which child need more life, more kind, more patience? The good with the good behavior or with the bad behavior? Which child need more love, more patience? With the bad one. But sometimes we don't have a patience enough to love the bad ones. It's easy to love the good one, but sometimes we have to. You know, God said to the people of Israel, I have chosen you to become a special nation. Do you think that you were easy to be loved? God says to them, no. People of Israel were not easy to be loved by God. But still God loved them and prepared something good. You know, sometimes we can be difficult to be loved by somebody. If you have difficulties of loving somebody, think about yourself. Sometimes you think that everything, that you're easy to be loved? You think so, but maybe ask other person. Sometimes you're very difficult to be loved. For that reason, keep that in mind. My dear brothers and sisters, without you, church wouldn't be the way it is with you now. You are important to the church, and church is important to you. Thank God for the church and for the privilege to meet Him in His holy place. I pray for God to help us so we can help one another in our spiritual lives, so we can all be together in His kingdom, His heavenly kingdom. For that reason, I'm so happy that I was privileged this morning to present a topic which maybe you were familiar, what church is. May God bless you all. Amen.